Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
We welcome you back to yet another segment here on the Adventist World Radio SID Media. We call this one here, Make It Practical. And it is found every particular weekday as we go through our study hour. Good morning to you once again, and we truly, truly appreciate you joining us. As we get into this conversation, we want to invite you to share your thoughts, share your comments. We want to hear from you, +27 73 470 3520. That's a number where you can get in touch with us as we study together this morning. We are in our third installment on our Make It Practical segment. We are looking at the Good Samaritan. That's the theme we're running with this week. Now, if the first part of the story that we've been going through, right, coming out of Luke chapter 10, if that has been shocking because religious leaders pass by, then this next part is absolutely scandalous. The man who stops to help us is a Samaritan. You can feel the tension get into the room, right? There's gasping, there's horror, there's shock. A person despised, deemed a religious heretic and apostate, treated as an enemy of the Jewish audience. Do you remember a couple of chapters back in John chapter 4, a woman who is of Samaritan descent says, "Jew, you're asking me for water just to drink some water? How dare you?" You know? So let's talk about God's grace, right? And how it can work through unexpected people, the danger of our prejudices, and how mercy crosses barriers that religion cannot. Let's see how a person despised, deemed a religious heretic, can actually treat somebody who is following as somebody who is following Jesus's very, very teachings. Joining us in this conversation is our pastor Mfundisi Marandure. Pastor Zines, good morning to you and welcome again.
Thank you so much. A very good morning, and thank you so much for the warm welcome to such a powerful, interesting deliberation study and in-depth study to these people who had a serious challenge with this handling relationships. You know, but thank God he allowed us also to have a leaf we can pluck from there. Perchance we may think all those guys were bad news, but yet we're actually sailing in the same boat in a way or another.
Certainly. And we make them think as though we may think that they are the worst, whereas, hey, when you really take a closer inspection, you might find that you are definitely not any different. But you see, when you look at this parable, and I mean, parables are stories, and sometimes one would think there might be some spicing up and some juicing up and exaggerating in the story to make it a bit more exciting. Is that what's happening here? I mean, why was the mention of the Samaritan intended to shock Jesus' audience? I mean, him saying, you know, he's just starting talking about this man who falls on the wayside. You know, Jews are like, okay, no, makes sense. But the moment he says a Samaritan is the one who stops to help, I can imagine people being shocked, you know, in there. Talk to us a bit about this.
No, you're so correct there. You see, now Jesus is addressing or redefining what is a neighbor. And according to the understanding of the Jews, neighbor was just someone who, perchance, stays a house closer to my house. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. I call a neighbor. That's exactly also maybe that we can have that definition. And when we're talking of neighbors, we're talking of someone who stays somewhere closer to me.
Yeah.
But now Jesus is seeking now to address a different dimension and define what a neighbor is. Now, this is someone that they least expected. Mm. And he's speaking up from Samaria. You know, it was going to be something else, perchance, if he had from maybe from Moabites, if they were still in existence, or maybe Philistines, Assyrians, if they were still in existence then, or Romans, rather. But now, a Samaritan. And these were their worst enemies. And these guys, they, like you said there earlier, a woman was surprised, a Samaritan woman, how can you be asking me of water? Of all the things, you want water. So to a point that they could not share water, something that is so
Yeah.
basic and something that does not even cost a dime, but they could not share even water, let alone share the same God. You see where it was coming,
Yeah.
where it was coming now.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. Let me pick a Samaritan, because, and again, this is how Jesus was so crafty in explaining his thing here. Imagine if it was a Samaritan who was beaten, and then we're having a Jew who's coming to help. Obviously, the Jews would have gone home celebrating as the heroes and of the whole narration, and they would argue. It's obvious these guys, we have to help them. But now it was a twist, whereby now Jesus is saying, it's you guys who had fallen into trouble, and then your enemy now is the one who's coming to help you out. And it's in a way that you would never, ever, ever dare to. Because if you guys cannot share water, that is sharing with you everything about him. So now this becomes your neighbor, because somehow geographically these guys were neighbors, but they just didn't see eye to eye. And they were even cousins, you know. But you know, the funny part to it, these guys had a memorandum of understanding that they would only do business and nothing else.
Yeah.
If it means you are selling, a Jew can buy from a Samaritan, a Jew can, that one, only business, only trade route that opened. But anything outside of trade route, even water, you will not get. So Jesus had to bring to say, no. Your neighbor could be that person who is a tailor in that supermarket, could be that lady who's selling tomatoes by the roadside, could be that cobbler who's fixing shoes.
Yeah.
It could be that other gentleman who is somehow, that those are your neighbors now. Those are your neighbors now. You know, at times when we want to go out to evangelize, we have a way of targeting our market, and so there are some people who are marginalized who dare not want to go to, and you actually don't get to get along with these guys. Not this person selling tomatoes, selling airtime. No, those are your neighbors now. You can't have a friendship of just buying tomatoes, and beyond that, you can't talk about anything else.
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
And you know, Mfundisi, I want to circle back on this idea you're bringing across of a target market, to say, when you look at the story, Christ obviously was trying to drive a point home, and he used the most extreme of examples he could find, to say who actually is the one who should receive mercy from us. Talk to us about what this is supposed to teach us about who receives mercy, because sometimes when we think who are we ought to be merciful towards, who do we ought to show love towards, it's clear in our minds it's people who look like us, smell like us, drink like us, dress like us, come from the same home as us. But Christ is turning the narrative on its head. Yeah, talk to us a bit about that, especially the fact that sometimes we think people need to be worthy of our help when we address them in whatever capacity.
Exactly. Thank you so much for bringing up that one. It is so true. You know, I'm third generation Adventist, and I've grown in the system, to know the system before I could read the manual. The manual was in me. I'm trying to come to a point where I'm saying I've seen people coming to church and they are greeted in a different way. I've seen a well-to-do person coming to church, and all of a sudden, elders are fighting for an opportunity just to greet the special visitor, in quotes, from the pulpit. And the pastor also wants to greet the special visitor again, even if the person has been greeted. But this person is managed, is well-to-do. See? People, they fight so hard to give him or her their chairs, their spaces to sit and look for somewhere else, even to stand, they don't mind. But there comes someone who's crafty, and no one dares even to know or to want to know their name or even give them where to sit. It's a different way of treating people. All these people may not be Adventists, but why are we treating people in a different way? Yes, we go out there as well, and we are so happy, and we publish these things when we baptize someone who is so well to do. You know, if it was in South Africa, or say maybe someone you baptize Patrice, and you see, it tell you what, it becomes news. It becomes news. It becomes news on the SID or the SAU General Conference. It becomes news. But tell you what, how many people who assist us in our gardens have been baptized, and it has never been news.
True.
You see. So, and that's how we are so selective. That's how we are very selective with the target market. And this is so unfortunate. Now, this is where we are simply saying mercy is being it is being applied, but in a way that is not equal, and that is not so good. So it was with these people, in as much as they were neighbors, yes, they are not worshiping in the same way, though they're worshiping the same God. But the way of treating each other in a very bad way. It's actually so painful for you. Like we learned yesterday, this guy was Jew, and the fellow Jews, they passed by. But there comes a Samaritan who is not part of these guys, but is merciful. And, you know, at times you find mercy in places where you never expected mercy. It's so bad when people outside of our faith, they see us, they sympathize with us. I'll tell you one thing, and this is actually a pain that I always have to get around. It's so bad when you go to Facebook. This is an international thing. You go to Facebook, see people who are fighting each other. We are fighting each other by ourselves as Adventists, and you'll never see anyone from the people then that we call this one is the beast. They will never say anything evil about Derek. They will never dig into any dirty about Pastor Marandre. They will never and bring it on Facebook. Only us, we fight against each other. Yes. Actually, to stop the people we call the beast, they come to our sympathy. They are merciful to us. And they are good people. And they get along. They will actually help you. And without even spreading a word, if it wasn't me, this person was not supposed to be here.
Yep.
They will never say a word. So we need to be careful where we get mercy from. We are all neighbors by the end of the day.
Amen. We are all neighbors at the end of the day. Maybe let's make it practical even more, Mfundisi. When you look at today's setting, maybe people are wondering, okay, Mfundisi, it's easy to trace. You can even trace lineage. You're talking about cousins. You're talking about neighbors, and you're talking about this and that. And they're saying, but I can't identify anybody who is that to me today. In our context today, who are the Samaritans in our context? People who hold prejudice, or we hold prejudice over and against, who might actually show us or others God's love, like you're saying.
Thank you so much. You see, the Samaritans that we have today, I'll be very straight to the point on this one. Let's have the Jews and the Samaritans. These people, they all worshipped God. These people, they all believed in God. In just that they were so different, maybe in a way they approached this whole thing. Everyone would think to themselves, I know we have got Jacob, so here we you know what? And these are the ones that are like, no, it's not like that. We have David in our lineage.
Yeah.
But all these people, they were one people that they were fighting over and just trying to claim to be in their corner. But the bottom line is that these were all God's children, and they all believed in the same God, and they all observed the Sabbath in their own right. And I want to say, in as much as these guys were enemies, you know, and Jesus is bringing the aspect of a neighbor being that person you're calling an enemy. We have got our neighbors, those people who are Christians. They worship, they believe in Jesus, they preach Jesus, they live the life that Jesus expects. Just that, maybe they are not coming to our church. They may not be Adventists. They are going to another church out there, and they could on different uniforms, but they are our neighbors. They are not our enemies. We can't be having a preacher in our day and the time and is preaching so hard and sweating to show that they have well researched just to paint black and make the other people to seem to appear as if they are evil and we are the righteous one. Yes, fine. Like the emphasis we put there, when we're saying we're the remnant, we put it with a with some capital letters there. But it doesn't mean if someone is not coming to our church, that person is lost. That's not true. Mm. And that doesn't mean that person is not a child of God. I'll tell you what, there are people out there whose prayers are being answered on a daily basis when we are struggling to have one prayer answered throughout the year. You know, we are God's children. Look at this person, is created in the image of God. There's nothing amiss. You don't start to be in the image of God because you are now an Adventist. And when you're not an Adventist, there's something lacking about the image of God in those people. That's not so true. Physically, we are basically the same people. Those people are living a life where there are people who actually fast more than we fast ourselves. The people there who would give you testimonies that will wonder, is this God or is this something else? So we are neighbors. Let's not fight against each other. Let's be divided because of these uniforms, man, and the set of principles that we follow. We are God's children. Let love bind all of us. All of us. You know, we all respond to the language of love. Let me tell you, this is so interesting, Derek. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've got your pet and it's a dog, what connects you to that pet and what makes you guys enjoy that kind of a relationship or that you have? It is because of love. You've tamed an animal and you've shown this animal love. And this animal is responding to love and it's glued to you as its owner. Man, why are we not using the same love to approach and use it with fellow human beings who are actually Christians? Just that they are not in our denomination. We need to do better than what we do with our dogs.
Yes, 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 we need to do better. And that is it right there. And maybe let's wrap up with that kind of a sentiment, Muruti, to say, how can we do better? You know, it's important that we take a page from Christ's lesson here as he addresses the congregation before him, right? His listeners there. He makes the villain deliberately the hero of the story, right? The one who is an outcast, the Samaritan, the one we don't want to talk about and we would rather not even mention in our everyday conversations. That's our hero. And I want us, maybe just as we conclude for this in the next 2 minutes, to say, why is Jesus doing this? And why is it important that we understand that love is not just words, it's not feeling, it's not sentiment, it's not profession, it's action? Talk to us about why Christ turns the table on its head as it describes the love in this fashion.
Thank you so much for that. Now, Christ is being deliberate on that one. All he's trying to display and show the Jews is that love conquers it all. That's the language we must respond to. This is what we must be. We are supposed to be wired in love and nothing outside of that. You see, this Samaritan now is the hero of the whole thing because he did what these guys could not do. He did what these guys could not do, and because he surpassed them on what they were supposed to be the champions on, he becomes the hero because he did what even the pastors could not do. He actually did that and setting out an example that this thing is doable, it's possible, it can be done.
Yeah.
And now what he simply did there was not something he intentionally said, I'm going to help this person so that these guys, they should know that we are also better people. No. He did not even do this thing because there was a camera somewhere or there was some recording somewhere where some news was going to be written somewhere. Then he did this out of duty. You know, at times we do things and we are so quick to be in front of the camera. We want people to know that we love. That's not love. It's what you do in secret. It's what you do out of a duty and without seeking for a recognition. That is what is exactly called pure love. And I'm so happy Jesus said to make this guy to be a hero so that also they will appreciate, no. What we are lacking is actually on the other side with our neighbors. And these guys are actually better than what we are and who we are. So we have a reason to learn from them and also respond to this love in the same manner. Then the lesson was taken home.
Yeah, in the same manner, in the same manner. Mfundiswami, thank you so much for this beautiful lesson, and thank you for the encouragement and the invitation that we follow through in the words that Christ is bringing us across. I pray that we take these words, not only enjoy them and be moved by them, entertained even by them, but actually apply them to our lives. We appreciate you, Pastor Sainz.
Amen. Thank you so much, my brother. We hope we will not be just listeners and those who talk about it, but we will live this truth. God helping us. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God help us indeed. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. God bless you till tomorrow.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.